Hey, we are Agnes and Michael Fritz. We currently live and work in Los Angeles and are the founders of Vivo Con Agua in California. The mission of our foundation is to supply countries like Ethiopia, Nepal and Uganda with clean drinking water. Our aim is to do this by intersecting the clean water mission with the love for art, sports, music and culture. Our podcast focuses on the daily struggles of a social startup, running a business with your significant other, while raising a family and adjusting to life and cultural norms in a new country.
Hello, Agi. Good news or bad news?
Bad news first, as always.
We have to create everything concerning the Speed Project cooperation. We finally made happen. So we will get a bunch of gear, like clothes, shirts and stuff like that. And we
need to run?
No, we don't need to run. For the people who don't know Speed Project is running from Los Angeles to Las Vegas through the desert, six runners, and without stopping. So you can run like, the fastest team was like 36 hours. So each of them ran 100 miles in like 10K normally.
In Germany, we would say Staffellauf, right?
We would say Staffellauf, yeah. And so each runner runs 10K, then the other runs 10K.
And what's the bad news about? Like that we have to do what?
We have to paint it, design it, create it, make it special.
Why is it so bad then?
I mean, it's the bad part of the cooperation, because the good part of the cooperation is that, first of all, we have a cooperation with Speed Project, which is a really radical
I think you did guy. That 2 years ago also.
Yeah, but
you
I...
You were driving the bus,
yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. I was the bus driver, not a runner. No, I'm really happy that we have a cooperation, and the best thing about it that when all the runners come together from all over the world and they get ready at the Optimist Inc. Location, then we have like an information area with Vivo Con Agua where we can show what we're doing with our water project, and there we can sell the gear and all the proceeds go to us. So this is like everything is easy and prepared. So it's funny because Niels Arendt, who is the founder of the Speed Project, is also a co-founder of Vivo Con Agua. So I think he made the deal in his head with Niels Arendt, the co-founder, and Niels Arendt, the radical inventor of Speed Project. And so he came up with that solution.
That's really cool. I like that.
The problem, it's not the bad news, but the problem is all the money and administration stuff, because I just realized that we are here now for 10 days and you had a big meeting with the bank, and how you doing, how you say, like, how you pay money, like we have to...
That was the biggest and funniest issue this week for me, to send money somewhere. So it's like it's like the easiest thing for me to do in Germany, all the stuff. But when coming to a different country, I realized that the simple things can be like annoying or like really difficult. And I didn't plan that time. I thought it's gonna be just like that in 5 minutes.
Sorry for the inconvenience concerning the quality of the...
There's an helicopter.
There's an helicopter, or like they call it, a ghetto bird.
Ghetto birds.
So it's like really close.
It's really close. We hope that our little ones continue sleeping. So, sorry for any inconvenience concerning the quality of our podcast, but we are no professionals. Otherwise, we wouldn't have started anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what was the topic again?
I couldn't send money from the bank account to another bank account to pay a bill.
Although we have money.
We have money. we have money because we collected money last year, and also donations were coming in. And it was really good, and it's still there in the bank account, because last year it happened the bank account was not there anymore, so we had to open up again because we didn't use it for a couple of months and then they just closed it.
How can that happen? In Germany it cannot happen.
Yeah, but the money was not gone. They just froze it, and then you had to like reactivate it and set up another bank account, and we just didn't know that it's just gonna, like, I think after 6 to 8 months they just gonna freeze your account. We got the money back, of course, everything. And I had this like fear that everything was frozen again. So I went to the bank, but everything is fine. But yeah, these are the things when you found something different and new in a country and you have to start from scratch. And the easiest things are not the easiest ones here. Yeah.
What else is challenging for you at the moment?
So at the moment, it's still like the I miss my au pair. It's not our au pair, but it's like also a friend, and he's helping us with our daughter. And for me, it's still very, very difficult to deal with that, with not having her here. And then also to balance everything with you and to start our new life here, and household issues are coming up again and again.
You think like other couples have the same issues like we?
When I talk with my friends, they always have the same issues.
And so what was your solution concerning the household issues?
For me, household is the same thing than when you work professionally, so it's a project. So that's why I took you and put you on a chair, and we did this nice project management with all the different tasks we have to do in our household. And I would say household is when you live together, what kind of things and tasks you have to fulfill. So we did this. I think it took us 3 hours.
Can you go?
It was like a project management board, and we put all the tasks there, and then we were discussing what are you doing or what are you doing, and then we also calculated the amount of time every one of us need to spend to fulfill that task and how often it comes up. Like, is it once a week, once a month, once like a year, you know, like doing taxes is once a year, but cleaning the bathroom is maybe once a week. So yeah, we did that, and I think I like the idea, and I like the idea to see it like as a project. And when I talk with friends, it's always the same. I mean, it's like, oh, he's not doing the dishes. Oh, he's like, you know, not cleaning that and blah, blah, blah. And for me, after having that plan, a lot of like things which is sticking in my head, like, oh, we need to buy toilet paper or whatever, it's just gone because we divided it, and one is your responsibility, the others are mine, and it's a clear division, and at the end you can just sit there and look who fulfilled the goals and who not, and then it's easy, and it's not like it's I thought it's not that we do have to fight again over it, but we did this week. And I think it's because we did that plan for Germany, but here we just arrived, we didn't have our au pair. I was doing grocery shopping, I was thinking about what we need for our artist in residency here. I was doing all that planning, and you already did all the meetings, and I was angry about it because you didn't think about feeding the plants, watering the plants.
I'm not a water guy. When we first did this workshop, let's call it workshop for the project management of household.
Fritz.
What was the amount of hours of the status quo I put into the household, and what have you done? You remember roughly?
I remember it roughly. That was so interesting for me because I mean, everyone who knows Michael knows that he's really actively doing a lot of things, and a lot of people from the outside would say, oh, this is like a really equal relationship and they're sharing all the responsibility, and Michael is, he's cleaning up, you know, like he's really fast and running around and is this ADD guy who has a lot of energy. But in the end, when I calculated the amount of time I was spending more than him, and I added it up as an 8-hour working day and a five-day week to work, I was working 3 months more than him just for all the household things. And I mean, it didn't feel like I won, you know, but it was kind of the same feeling, because then I was like, okay, Michael,
now you see, it's not that I feel this inequality of women and men and blah blah blah. I could just show him, look, I'm working 3 months more than you, and so we need to like shift this plan, you know, we need to make it more equal, otherwise I don't like that.
For me it was quite interesting because I think to put it on a project management level helped me to understand it differently, and to still I didn't like it because I realized I had to do more work. But I think I had this kind of crazy experience when I was giving a speech about Viva Con Agua at a really conservative law company in Hamburg back in the days, and I think it was your first time you took off 2.5 days, you went to Cologne to make some party, to meet some friends, to just sleep without the kid. And I gave this speech and I had some friends with me and I wanted Frida, they should take care of Frida. Of course, when I had to start the speech, Frida wanted to be with me, so I took her on my arms and gave the speech with Frida. And yeah, obviously my job is really like a kind of positive projections, and then you have a little beautiful, amazing, inspiring little something on your arms, you get the laugh from the room. But then later some people came and said, ah, it's so progressive that you have your kid with you and that you combine everything. And then I just asked them, would you have said the same thing to my wife? And this was, I could only say that sentence because we were talking a lot about this topic about women and men, and that men are celebrated when they spend some time with their kid and stuff like that, and it never happens to women. So I think this was for me really interesting, this image which you have as a father and as a mother, and when the father takes care of the kid as well.
Working mom and working dad.
Totally different.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same. I remember that when I did my disaster relief volunteering, first time being away after, I think...
1 year?
14 months.
Yeah, something
it was
like
14 that. Months. I was still breastfeeding, and I was still breastfeeding afterwards, but I went away for like an earthquake response in Indonesia for 10 days. And the newspaper, my local newspaper from the hometown where I grew up, they interviewed me for that disaster relief response. And then in the end, the woman, yeah, asked me the question, if how can I do this as a mother and take that risk to work somewhere where it could be like, I don't know, how do you say that, maybe dangerous. But she asked me that, especially, I don't know how she put that question, because I usually can't remember that kind of things, especially like as a mother. And then I only also replied like, if I would be a man or a father, you would never ever ask me that. So I was really angry. I'm always still so angry, because what I see is a society which makes like working moms feel bad about what they do. And on the other side, we have a society, when you look at it demographically, who needs kids, you know? So, and for me, I don't feel that surrounding. I mean, of course, I have a lot of other friends and who are doing things differently and whatever. But basically, there's a lot of like situations where I feel that it's not really seen good as a working mom and traveling and whatever. And then also being like this woman who wants to have equality and fighting for equality and whatever, it's like, no, I wear two earrings and I'm not wearing Lila, I don't know, this prejudice about feminism and everything. But for me, that's why I thought like, okay, if we do a project plan, it's just not emotional. It's a project plan, it's tasks, if it's goals, that's easy. And we need to do that for California as well, Michael.
Yes, I'm so much looking forward to do that again and again and again, because probably it changing all the time with the surroundings where you're living. It would be something different if we would live in Uganda or in South Africa or in Bavaria or whatever. Is it for you that sometimes crazy that like our little one is running around here the whole time and is sometimes integrated, sometimes you go out with her, sometimes I go out with her, sometimes she goes to Kita, like this change, like is it hard for you like to be that flexible on a mother job, woman, boss level?
Boss.
I mean, you're boss of Vivo Con Agua California, so yes.
I had once a really nice boss at a cultural ministry in Hamburg, the city of Hamburg, and she said it's like juggling with a lot of balls. And I still feel that we're doing this because we have so many projects and so many things to do, and for me also like family and working together and having a daughter and founding a new NGO or even like a social business on a different continent is a lot of things at the same time. But I like that. I always like that. I like to have no routine and I like to have different projects at the same time, and I think it makes life just interesting. But what I don't like is the clashes and if things are not structured and you don't know what you need to do or whatever. So I just realize if you do these kind of projects at the same time and working is getting more complex and complex, I think that communication is key to all.
That's one of the many reasons why we do that podcast. Yeah, this was interesting too. Maybe we come from podcast to weed for water. It was quite interesting because weed, cannabis, is a legal medical plant here in the US.
Yeah, I smell that like everywhere here.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And of course, it's a big business. I think it went down also. They have a lot of struggles. MedMen just thrown out. MedMen is one of the biggest cannabis companies here in the US. Thrown out the CEO because the stocks, Aktien,
yeah,
went down a lot from I think some $40 to some cents even. And I just posted that I met a guy to look into the business of weed for water, social business, because there is no social business in weed for water. And weed is from my perspective a universal language. Wherever I go, people connect via weed. And it's also really connected to the topic of water. So when I told you that I posted it, you already did like, you knew already that it was a mistake. And you said, oh, come on, Michael, you're so stupid. Because there was a big controversy about whether a social project like Viva Con Agua should be linked to plant, medical, drug, or something like that. There is no question, so but maybe you can give me your reflection on it.
From my perspective, it was not only about like the link to some sort of drug. I mean, you know me and everyone who knows me, I'm a really big fan of like herbal medicine, and I'm not just saying that weed is a medicine, but all the plants, you know. So there's a lot of countries who are now legalizing it, and as well Germany, you can buy CBD and everything. So for me, it's not all about that, but it's that a DJ who was also living in Germany but is originally from California told me that here it's a really commercial business. So when they legalized it, all the big companies, like you said before, the Red One and there's other big ones, it's like a profit-oriented market with like big companies, and I don't like that. So, and that's why, and the market itself was seen by a lot of like underground and conscious people here that this is a really bad thing going on there. So I was like, For me, this is the bigger question or the more important question if we want to step into a market which is like profit oriented and big companies and so. Yeah. I wanted to ask you something.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the good news?
The good news, we have a cooperation with Speed Project. I mean, I got more good news, but this is the good news about the Speed Project, that we have a cooperation with them.
Okay.
We have more good news.
Yeah, because you answered that with like the bad news, you know, so.
Because you asked me about first the bad news.
Yeah.
And then the good news is that we have a cooperation. I was really like working for 3 years and trying to convince Niels Ahren, because I really believe in him. He's a true radical, inspiring person. He came here without speaking English at all and knowing anybody and just started one of the real big agencies. And so he's a really nice guy. That was the reason. But we even have more good news. We had received our first donation this year so far by Paul Ripke, also a co-founder of Viva Con Agua California, a long-term supporter. He donated more than $5,000 because his colleague said he will sum it up. You say it like that? He will increase the donation. They collected like $5,000, but he will put something on it. So we don't know yet the money, but we know that there's a donation. And the other good news is that our long-term partner Welthungerhilfe from Germany is partnering also with Viva Con Agua California. Since the very beginning, since we started Viva Con Agua in 2005, we had the cooperation with Welthungerhilfe and St. Pauli. I think they were like the main driving forces why Viva Con Agua is like Viva Con Agua is today. And all the projects we did in, or most of the projects we did in water projects and sanitation projects in on the African continent and Asian, we have done together with Welthungerhilfe. And it's really interesting because they said they believe in what we're doing. And you have to know that it's a quite big organization in Germany, and Germany is known for efficiency and bureaucracy and all these things. And in the meeting of the board meeting, some of the board members who don't know us so good, they ask, yeah, but how are they gonna get donations? How are they gonna get the organization across the US? And then the people who support the idea of cooperating with us again, they said, hey, we don't know. We don't know, yeah. Honestly. And I think they don't know either, but somehow they will do it. And so it's really interesting for me that there is no, this is also something which is for me really interesting, there is till now no real plan how we do Viva Con Agua California, or is there? Am I wrong from my perspective?
I mean, we have ideas.
But do you have a plan? Like a plan where you say, Excel first is get admin done, second is organize that, third is that marketing target group,
But we have like the we say like we have a drop print, like a blueprint, or like the basis of what needs to be done in an organization like us, and we know that from Germany and Austria and Switzerland and whatever, so, and Uganda, and so we know the basic things which have to be done.
Can
and
I then, ask a question, please?
Yeah.
Because this, I think the name of the podcast is Dropwise, how to start a family social business. So this could be interesting for some of the listeners. What is the job print? What is it exactly? What does it say? And what structure it gives you to start a business?
It's not a structure, really, but it's like the core things which we say, okay, this is Viva Con Agua. So we have basic assumptions, vision, mission.
What's a basic assumption?
Transformation, for example, or activation, or inspiration, or connection. These are all four basic assumptions.
And what's the vision?
Water for all and all for water.
And why it is important for a social business to have a vision, a mission, basic assumptions, a brand key. Why is it important?
For me, on a personal, I mean, you can answer this in like, if you go to an economy class and you're talking about it, also about companies and not only organizations or NGOs or whatever, it's like for legal entities, I would say, or people or groups who want to like achieve something, usually they they try to find a corridor where they can run, you know, or go to. So there's a left barrier and a right barrier, whatever. Or when you go with a picture of a corridor, but for me, it helps me to answer questions and to go further. If do we do this partnership? Do we do that event? Whatever. We can go back to the basic assumptions and we just ask ourselves, is this Viva Con Agua? Does this inspire people? Does this connect people?
So, for example,
for me, it's a good tool
sorry.
To go somewhere without a plan and to decide.
So, I didn't want to interrupt you, but this was really interesting. So, when we comes back to Rewind Selector Weed for Water, we can take the values and the brand key and the mission statement and the vision and put it, like, use it as a filter to see if Weed for Water is working for Viva Con Agua or not. Because, for example, is it connecting people? Yes, definitely. If is it activating people? Most of the time, probably not that much. So, is it like... can it be part of our educational program? Probably not. You shouldn't link that too much, kids, and you should educate them about things like that, but yeah. So then it falls out. Or like corporations with big companies, the
same. That's why I say, for me, it's like, I mean, this is the core, this is part of the culture, this is part of what Viva Con Agua is, in the inner, I would say. And this just helps me to like decide and to move on all with the steps what we need to do here. And we have this like things and drop print where we also have like, okay, if you want to set up like an NGO or a company or social business, okay, you need to have IT and finance, admin and blah 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 and all the normal business talk, you know. So we also have that, of course, because we have the structures in all the legal entities we have. So we have, for example, a master plan of finances, which we use in kind of like every organization, which also will help us here, you know. And then we have the basic press text. We have, you know, like WASH. We have the same WASH strategy we want to follow with every organization. And of course, when we're coming here to California, we will follow the same strategy. So we're not coming here with like empty hands, you know. So we're coming with like 15 years of experience. Of experiences and a lot of organizational development for me, which is the key. So we know where we are, you know, who we are.
Where we are, we know
where
too.
Where we are, we know too. But where we want to go with that, we don't know. But we just go and we see where there's like doors opening up for us. And then we see if it fits or if we go through that door or if we just take the next one.
At the moment, if you think about all the open doors in Los Angeles, like after being here for unbelievable time of amount of time for 10 days, what is the most interesting door for you?
The most interesting door on the one side is one of the main things why I came to Viva Con Agua is the universal languages of art, music and sports, which are connecting people and connecting businesses, connecting organizations via these universal languages. And for me, this is like one of the main things why I, back in the days, wanted to volunteer and start working also for Viva Con Agua. And you said I should have to, because I wanted to write my master thesis about Viva Con Agua, and then you said, but then you need to volunteer. Remember?
Yes, I want to.
It was interesting. So, but yeah, that's how I came to Viva Con Agua. That's the one thing. And I mean, if you look at California, that the art scene and the music scene and everything is just so intense here. And there's a lot of, yeah, there's just so much creative potential here. And the other part, which I realized in the last 10 days again and again and again, which is also the thing why I really love and like Viva Con Agua from beginning onwards, is connecting social business to the charitable work. Because for me, this is the future to like really change economy and economic systems and circles.
Oh, I spoiled it. Sorry, to make it transparent what happened, I just I crashed the what it's called? Tascam recorder, the sound recorder. It's part of my ADD.
Yeah. So yeah, economic value chain systems, you know, like how economy works, demand and supply, and for what, like, I mean, we will still have, we always will have economic markets and economy because this is part of our world. But for me, it's like we need to change the system it works or why it works. So social business is, for me, a big solution for a lot of problems we challenge nowadays. And I realized there's not so many really cool social businesses out here. It's not that we have the best idea, you know, but or the best social business in Germany or what we did, but Viva Con Agua started with a couple of social business ideas or partnerships or whatever, and in Germany and in Hamburg and Berlin especially, you can see a lot of them with different concepts behind, and I really like to push that here as well. And I think people are really open, especially here in California, with this old hippie kind of spirit, and a lot of like green and sustainable companies are coming from here. And so I think these two things are cool.
I think it's a perfect you know that when you miss words in the English language, cliffhanger. Cliffhanger. For me, it's really funny because I hope that one day I will speak fluently, perfect English, even possible. I think that I can do the TH one day.
I think our daughter will get it first.
Yeah, definitely. Like, she almost got it. But the cliffhanger for what is happening downstairs, we are up in our artisan residency and we have the first, let's call them artists, because we have called the whole project Artists in Residency. But they are more like social entrepreneurs. They're doing the business of power water. And can you explain what is happening downstairs at the moment?
I mean, first of all, maybe power water, they sell really nice steel can bottles to refill it up with like tap water or whatever, so the people are not buying plastic bottles and whatever. So it's a really nice sustainable project and company, and they had the same and a very similar logo with a drop, and they also wanted to do it like for water projects, right? And then someone connected you and you're now in connection with Czech, I think 2 years already?
Yeah, something like that.
And I really liked that, and they did the first partnership with us. Isakov, a really, really lovely artist, designed one of their first steel bottles or steel cans with an artwork, and part of the proceeds are going to Viva Con Agua. So this was it's really nice. I think it started last year. And yeah, they're here. We're having like a 3-day workshop about social business opportunities and how to set up a social entity like a commercial one. Because if we want to do something like that, we have to set up a new legal entity, what we same like we did in Germany. So we now have the Public Benefit Corporation, which is here called 501c3, which is I would say the Gemeinnütziger Verein in German. So it's an association, it's a charity, it's a whatever, how you ever want to call it. So we have that set up in 2018. And if you want to set up a social business, be it like selling water, bottled water, be it selling a sustainable toilet paper or Eat for Water, that's your idea still. Or other really cool ideas we have in mind, we need to set up also a new entity, and we also want to work with local people here. They have the same spirit, they're really interested, they're since 2 years really engaged and helping, we're helping each other, so that's really cool. So we're going to it's going to the next level.
You know what I just had to thought when you spoke about Weed for Water again, because I really learned, and this could also be something really helpful for us and interesting for like working normal in companies or something like that, because the moment I put it out, I went to sleep, and the other day I got a lot of feedback by people from Germany who said, "Hey, you crazy, you cannot do wheat for water, it's against the values of Viva Con Agua," and I just put it up and didn't thought about it. But the good thing was I make everything transparent. So whenever I have an idea, a concept or whatever, I tell it to people, because then they put their input into it, they give me feedback, and then the design of everything happens by the collective, and also the corrective sometimes. So our volunteers are the corrective. And if I wouldn't do that, I probably continued planning about Weed for Water, and then one day there would be an organization called Weed for Water giving profits to Viva Con Agua. So now they could interact or stop it immediately and say, "Hey, that's not a good idea, go another way." And the same is happening with projects we're doing, like for example for the artisan residency or whatever we come from. So whenever you have ideas out there or can connect us to people, because we're really starting it, and it's drop by drop, so please connect us with all your ideas, people, creativity and stuff, because we truly need it. And I believe in it. It would be better for big companies if they be more transparent on what they're doing, how they're doing it and why they're doing it. Because then the moment you're transparent, you get better feedback, you get people better on board, and you so you people can identify probably more with the things. I also realized when, like, you are just smiling. Why are you just smiling? What are you thinking?
Because sometimes when you do this and when you're just so transparent, which I really like, but sometimes you're just so honest about all the things, you know, like you're talking about going to shit with open doors and whatever, about everything, you know, with everyone.
My aunt is not speaking no more with me.
Yeah, sometimes it's really also a problem also for me, and I'm just sitting there. It's like, oh yeah, oh gosh.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, for example, like then I posted yesterday about the designs of our water bottles.
Ah, you didn't show me the designs.
Oh, I'm sorry for that.
I'm not so much on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. I really appreciate and I like. The thing, but I will later show you, of course. Like, and I got a really lot of feedback by the people. Because the people, I think, have now the idea, okay, I give him feedback and this whole feedback gets into his decision. I will not be the one who decided on my own, of course, you and all the people from our communication marketing also in Germany, and a lot of people will give feedback. But at the end, I think it's really interesting, and it was one of the major reasons why we started this podcast, to make it as transparent as possible and to explain to people what we're doing and why we're doing and
I mean, for me, this will be one of the biggest challenges here as well. Like, how do we get a community here or a collective here who gives us feedback here. I mean, you know, now we have a lot of like German friends or friends who are connected to like some people who live here in the US, and so we have like a circle of friends who like really supporting us and commenting on everything. But for me also to have the feedback here from local people is really interesting, and I don't and yeah, it's one of the biggest challenges to get at here, to really open up, to have volunteers here, to have supporters here, locals here, you know.
How you create a community? Maybe Weed for Water again. Sorry. No, it's done. For all the people, thanks for the feedback concerning Weed for Water. It will not be something which I focus on.
Danny, also one of the really old-time supporters since 14 years, I would say, of Viva Con Agua, who is now with us here and doing the whole workshop about social businesses, is having the big idea, or is pushing it, the cup concept. And I mean, this was, I think, for Viva Con Agua, one of the big steps to have like a big volunteer cruise in a lot of cities, because if you go to music festivals and collect a cup deposit, a lot of young people just wanted to go to that music festivals and have like a really good time together and at the same time to do something good and collect the cups, you know. Here you have no cup deposit system, so that's why we're having this idea of bringing it to here. and this would be also maybe a step to create a bigger community around it.
I like. Maybe last question for today, Ms. Fritz, about, like, we spoke a little bit about the cooperation with Weltunghilfe, where all the benefits and proceeds will go to the water projects. A lot of people who are connected to Viva Con Agua know already about Uganda, Ethiopia, maybe South Africa, to link the communities concerning music and art and fashion. But there's also this idea of supporting projects in the country of where we're living. And you want to give me a sign? You can make it transparent, really. She was giving me a sign like, what, like skip? Or was it skip? Yeah. Skip? Next week.
I thought maybe because this we is can a do longer the cliff, topic. You
yeah,
know?
We can do the cliffhanger, you know, like this thing. So yeah. Keep people interested in the podcast.
So maybe next week we're going to speak
But what could be projects in the country? What have you seen last year? Maybe we could just give a short insight.
Okay,
what?
A very short insight is that, and I think a lot of you know it already, within the US you have big water problems.
Why are you laughing? Huh? No, but it's something different. I so often think the US is so, on so many levels, similar to a country like Uganda, when there was this windy time and the power just went down. It's the same like when it's raining in Uganda sometimes, then the power is not. But I wanted to connect it to a different topic. Like in Germany, we collect money, we fundraise money, we have social businesses, and then we use the money for water projects, sanitation projects in other countries.
Where there's a need of drinking water, hygiene, and sanitation.
The same is in Uganda, but different. Same, but different, because we doing water projects there on the one hand, and on the other hand, we're doing campaigning. We just started the first social business with the Sprouts and stuff like that. So something similar can happen here in the US, that we fundraise money on the one hand, but we also support water projects here in the country.
Yeah.
And you want to stop here because this is the perfect cliffhanger for next season. So we have a topic to speak about next.
Yes. So we're going to talk about like the water problems within the country and about the travel I went to last October, which was for me really intense to see that within a country like US, to see so many challenges and problems, especially around clean drinking water.
Well, maybe only one last question, like where was this journey going? Like, which was the place?
So I went to South Dakota to a Native American reservation.
Ah. And where else you know about water projects in the US?
I mean, we could start here in LA as well, you know.
LA, yes.
California is like...
More?
And you went to where?
Detroit?
Yes.
Flint, Michigan?
Yeah.
Yes, so we will speak about that next week. I, from my perspective, will stand on thin ice and have warm socks on, because I don't know so much about this. I'm more the I've been to Detroit, but I don't know too much about it. But let's see what we come up with next week.
Yeah, and next week we're gonna have our private household plan, so you still have the warm socks on. Until it's finished.
Hopefully washed. Washed warm socks. Thanks a lot for listening. This was Jobwise with Agnes and Michael Fritz.
Thank you.